Welcome back to In the Trenches. Today we've got Ben Bredesen, Carlo Kemp, a couple of guys that are in leadership roles as we head through spring practice in 2019 here. We also have some sound from Coach Harbaugh, who spoke to the media on Monday. We'll get to all that here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
You can just see when everybody is on the same path. We're all working for the same goal.
Getting more conditioned, getting a little more slim.
Everyone just wants to come out and show what we've been working on for the last 8 weeks.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Well, before we get to Ben Bredesen and Carlo Kemp, we're going to do a little 7 from 77 with my friend Brian Bush, and we'll include some of that audio from Coach Harbaugh that we heard yesterday. Brian, did you get a chance to listen to all that Coach Harbaugh had to talk about?
I did. His optimism seemed palpable. It seemed like it was there. Now, that's probably the case most springs around this time, but it did feel a little different.
It did, and the media actually asked him about that. You seem to be a little bit more upbeat this time of year, and I think there's a lot of things that play into that. One is, I think he's very excited about this freshman class. We've got 8 early enrollees. He gets a chance to see them. The rest of the class will be here this summer. Plus, we've got some great senior leadership this year. We've got a lot of veterans back on both sides of the ball, but especially on offense. You return a quarterback, you return 4 offensive linemen, receivers, tight ends. There's a lot to be excited about looking ahead to next season.
No question about it. First things first, number one on 7 from 77, the quarterback position. There is a lot to be excited about there. Shea Patterson is back. There are obviously other talented players behind him. Here's what Coach Harbaugh had to say about the quarterback situation.
Right now, Shea, Dylan, Joe are all getting equal reps, and that they're all looking good. You know, it's a really good, talented quarterback room. Brandon Peters, Cade McNamara, getting in the mix. Mike Sessa's, doing a really good job. But the balls are out there. They're competing for them, and they're doing good. Depth chart: Shea is number one, Dylan's number two, Joe's number three, there's no possible way that Shea Patterson will be able to put his feet up and. In my opinion, they've got serious competition there with Dylan and Joe right now. So be a fun spring.
Fun spring already. And, one of the things when we talk about coaches' optimism that you can hear there is that we have a depth chart. We have a starting quarterback who's returning, but he hedged his bet a little bit by saying, he can't keep his feet up. And I'll go back to what Coach Harbaugh talked about, or what he talks about in every fall camp, but he really emphasized it in his first one here at Michigan, was that everybody's penciled in. You don't write in anybody's name when ink and they're the starter, they're going to be the starter all year. As soon as you assume you're the starter, all of a sudden that competition that drives you to perform at a high level, drives you to improve, it slows down and it stunts that growth. You've got to always have somebody pushing you, whether at the quarterback position, which he talked about in Shea Patterson, is Dylan McCaffrey. We saw his ability last year in some games to make plays with his feet, make plays with his arm. And what I really liked about what I saw from him last year was whenever Shea went down, there were times where Dylan went in, and unless you were paying attention, you didn't know the difference. And that's quality coaching, quality preparation, and it shows you how close that competition is. Then obviously Joe Milton goes in, and we saw some young moments from him, but we also saw some flashes where he can really move the pocket, and he's got a very strong arm. So as he continues to learn the game of college football, as he continues to get more comfortable in this environment, he's going to push both of those guys. And you and I both know, Brian, that you can't go through a college football season without 2 quarterbacks. We saw that. We've seen it with Alabama, with Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts. We saw both of them play both times last year. We saw it with Clemson, the defending national championship, when they had Kelly Bryant in there, and then they go with Trevor Lawrence. There is no shortage, or there's I don't say shortage, but there is an unbelievable need to have depth at the quarterback position. We have that, and we're going to see it in this spring.
Yeah, very exciting there. Number two, the reality is, John, Jim Harbaugh is not going to establish anyone as a starter at this stage of the game, whether it's Shea Patterson or anyone. But what you want is to have yourself talked about the way that Jim Harbaugh talked about Christian Turner.
Christian Turner has surged from bowl practices to bowl game. And then since then, he is A++ in terms of how he's going about his business. So he is really becoming a rising player. No question about it.
28-minute-long press conference. And, John, I don't think he spoke as emphatically, as glowingly about someone as he did Christian Turner.
Well, we saw Christian Turner last year in the bowl game have an explosive play. And if the field was 2 inches wider, that would have set a different tone for the Peach Bowl down in Atlanta. But what we saw from him was a chance to have an explosive player out of the backfield with speed, with the ability to catch. And he adds so much there. And I would love to have his grading system in school. If I could get an A++, that's what I'm going to tell my kids now. The standard is no longer A's or A+. You got to get A++. That comes from Jim Harbaugh. But you know, when you talk about the running back position, Christian Turner obviously is going to have all the opportunity in the world and will get a lot of reps. True Wilson, who sure. We saw last year, and Coach mentioned him a little bit, a guy that was a walk-on, earned a scholarship, has earned the respect of his teammates. And when you earn the respect of your teammates, you earn the respect of your coaches, you earn the opportunity to get more opportunity on the field when it comes time for game time. And he did that by showing great pass protection, great responsibility when they handed him the ball. He didn't turn the ball over. And then a kid that I'm very excited about, Zach Charbonnet, a freshman coming in. And you never know when the lights go on what's going to happen in a freshman's mind. But when you look at him, he has all the tools that you need. He's tall, he's big, he's fast. And I'm really excited to see what he adds to that running back position.
Number three on today's 7 from 77, a lot has been made about Josh Gattis and his new system, that whole concept of hashtag speed in space. So here's Coach Harbaugh talking about the differences he notices with Gattis's arrival.
The tempo's big. The tempo's a huge change from, you know, huddling to not huddling. That's big. So and other things, but it's good. I like it. It's got a more of attacking feel, you know, to the offense in terms of tempo and in terms of going downfield in the passing game.
So what I like about that in terms of tempo, we've seen it when we've played teams like Indiana, who run a very high tempo offense. And what that allows you to do, you get to the line of scrimmage and your quarterback still can call plays from the line of scrimmage, but it gives them a chance to see the defense. You get more time at the line of scrimmage to be able to put your team in the right play. You get a chance to see the personnel of the defense, where they're aligned, how they're aligned, and how they're matching up to what personnel you have on the field. It also prevents the defense from bringing new personnel on. You could snap that ball at any time. Now, if we have substitutions, we got to allow the defense time to get substitutions in as well. But if we go from one play to another with the same personnel on the field, we can get up there, say set hike, and then we're gone. Or we can get up there, make a couple of calls, make some motions. But it gives what I talked about a couple of weeks ago. It gives us the opportunity to put our guys in advantage positions. So they have angles. We have numbers. We have the opportunity to, you know, we know what the play is. We know what the snap count is. We have those advantages. So let's use them to our ability to be that this explosive offense where now all of a sudden, hey, we get up to the line of scrimmage, set hot, boom. We've got Tariq Black, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Nico Collins going downfield, and Shea Patterson, whoever is that quarterback, has the ability to deliver that ball, and those guys are going to be open. We got to get those guys the ball in space, and that's where we get hashtag speed in space.
Number four, John, speaking of getting players in positions to succeed, how about this from head coach Jim Harbaugh yesterday? Ben Mason, who's a fan favorite, Bench Mason, he's working at four different positions in spring practice. Fullback, of course, defensive tackle, defensive end, and tight end. And he's also, because of, according to coach, his passion for it, he's staying on kickoff coverage as well. Most interesting man in the world, college edition?
No question, yeah. Michigan football edition. And so, and the other thing he said was, you know, last year when you have a player like Ben Mason, who is a great football player, but because of his position, he's only on the field for 30 reps. You want to have, when he comes in to watch film, whether it's offensively, defensively, or special teams, 60, 70, 80 reps on the field, because he's a guy that can make plays, whether offensively or defensively. And what I love about Ben is, and just, you know, if you want to go back to last year's podcast, when you talk to him, you are talking to a football player. He's a guy that will tell a coach, when a coach asks him, hey, can you play defensive end? Yes, sir. You know, just give me a chance to be on the field. Can you play defensive tackle? Yes, sir. Can you play tight end? Yes, sir. That's the type of guy that is going to lead this team. That's the type of guy that you need, as many of those players as possible, to be able to put guys where they fit the best with their abilities to go out there and win football games.
Number five, in your eyes, how did the Wolverines represent themselves at Pro Day the other day?
It was excellent. You know, we had some guys that performed extremely well at the combine: Rashawn Gary, Devin Bush, Chase Winovich, who didn't necessarily do all of the drills that were going to be performed at Pro Day because they performed so well at the combine. But it was also a chance for guys like Tyree Cannell to go out there and perform, you know, that they weren't invited to the combine. Jawan Bushel-Beatty had lost a bunch of weight, looks really good, excited about the opportunity, whether it's draft or an undrafted free agent, to get into camp and show what they can do. And it's not just what they do in terms of their 40 or 225, but it's a chance for, you know, NFL personnel, whether it's head coaches, whether it's front office, position coaches, to interact with these players, to talk to them, get a sense of who they are, how much they love the game, what kind of dedication do they have, what's their football IQ. All of those things go into making a guy from a possible undrafted free agent to, hey, you know what, he knows a lot about football. It matters to him. He comes from a program like Michigan. We'll take him in the sixth or seventh round because we don't want to risk not getting him in free agency.
Number six, John, this academic year, how about this? Michigan, a New Year's Six bowl in football, an NCAA tournament berth in men's basketball, an NCAA tournament berth in women's basketball. The only other team in the world in Division I to do that, Central Florida. That's pretty darn cool.
And it follows what everybody knows Michigan to be: leaders and best. That's what is expected when you come to Michigan. You're expected to play against high competition. You're expected to beat high competition, and that's what we do at Michigan, and that's what we're trying to do at spring ball. We've got to improve, you know, over the next now 14 practices and find out, how do we beat Ohio State? How do we beat Notre Dame? How do we go and win a national championship? Because those three things are great, that we are, you know, in the NCAA tournament, both men's and women's, that we played at a New Year's Six. But we want to see national championships. We want to see Big Ten championships. And I guarantee you, when you go and you ask every guy, you know, in this building, whether it's a coach, whether it's a consultant, whether it's a player, they're going to talk about winning championships.
Speaking of, number seven on 7 from 77, the NCAA tournament is here. Men's basketball, a 2 seed, women's basketball, an 8 seed. Have you filled out your brackets?
I have, and I would like to say an NCAA disclaimer, because I am a university employee. I did not wager anything
Correct.
On it,
yep.
Other than bragging rights, and so.
And those are very important.
Those are most important. You know what? It's you know, some people will put $5 on it, and you know what? That's all right. But I want to be able to tell my kids, when they fill out their bracket and mine, I'm the smartest guy in the room, and there's nothing worse than losing bragging rights to your 13 or 12 year old daughter. That's just unacceptable. Again, championships. We're here for championships. I don't care if you're 13 years old or if you're 43 years old. It's about the win.
I love it. I love it. Something tells me, I think I have a feeling who you have winning the national championship. I believe it's the 2 seed in the West. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. And there, I tell you what, the Grizz are going to be the first victims to a championship run. And I'm excited about what Michigan can do, not just in the tournament, you know, what they were able to do throughout the season. They represented themselves well. Now it's about going out there and understanding it is one and done. And you put a Michigan man in that position, you're going to get the best they've got. And I'm excited to talk about Iggy Brasdakis and Poole and all of the guys that are on this basketball team and see what a Michigan man can do when their back's up against the wall and they're expected to win.
I love it. It's going to be a lot of fun. It starts Thursday night in Des Moines, Iowa. Speaking of Michigan men, John, you had a chance to catch up with a couple of them. Ben Bredesen, Carlo Kemp. Now, both of those young men were discussed at Jim Harbaugh's press conference, and coach had really high praise for both. First for Ben Bredesen.
Ben Bredesen, phenomenal leader right out of the chute, and others are stepping into those roles, medalists. You know, I point to him of guys that are just, you know, attacking it, bringing guys along.
And Carlo Kemp, he also received plenty of high marks from Coach Harbaugh.
Carlo Kemp has really turned himself into a strong, strong player. Inside player all the way now, playing a three technique, the two. And it's interesting, he came as a tweener between a linebacker and a defensive end, more of a linebacker, you know, body type, and he's gone from that linebacker, really, we thought inside linebacker, you thought maybe like, traditional inside linebacker, then thought of him as an outside linebacker, then he moved to end, and you know, now he is a strong, one of our strongest guys on the team.
When you hear coach talk about guys like Ben Bredesen and Carlo Kemp, to be a championship football team, you've got to have senior leadership. It has to come from your upperclassmen, your juniors and seniors. Ben is a returning captain. Carlo Kemp will be in that leadership group as well. But I tell you what, instead of listening to me talk about these guys, let's get a listen to Ben Bredesen and Carlo Kemp. Captain Ben Bredesen joins us. Ben, you know, I will always announce you as captain because you were captain last year, but we hit the reset button. And what would it mean to you to be captain twice?
It'd be a huge honor. I mean, as you know, there's only a few guys that have ever been able to do that. So be able to be captain of this team twice would be, you know, I don't think words can describe it.
You're starting spring ball now, and you guys haven't had a chance to put the pads on. And I always say, you know, when you guys go out in helmets and shorts, it's like going out there with your skirt on because you're limited as an offensive lineman what you can do. What are some of your goals when you do get the pads on that you have for – let's start with just for yourself.
Yeah, I made a lot of work, made a lot of progress this year with Coach Herb and the weight room, so – I want to see how I'll be able to run with pads on this year. You know, trimmed a little bit of weight. Pass protection for me is big. We got we got the addition of Coach Castillo, and then with Coach Blaney and Coach Warner, I'm learning a few new tricks, some nuances with pass pro. So I'm going to be experimenting with that all spring ball. So once we get the pads on, we'll see how that starts going.
Well, I tell you what, this is a moment that made me feel old because Coach Castillo was here on my pro day. Obviously, Coach John Runyon Sr. With the Eagles for a long time, and has Junior picked his brain a little bit about what was my dad like as a player?
Oh, those two are always talking. I don't think he even had to ask. I think he and Coach Castillo, they got into it right away, so... they work really well together, and then he's working a lot with the tackles. But the fact that he coached John Senior means that he's going to John Junior right away, and then I can leech off some of that information too. So it's working well.
Going into this off season, it'll be the second year with your offensive line coach. Another year now where you've got four returning starters. How much more advanced are you at this point this year than you were last year?
We made a lot of progress. anytime you can return a decent amount of starters is good. I think, you know, last year we had three or four. This year we got four. And even Stuber has started a few games. So, you know, you can push the case for 4.5. But it's just, it takes all the, you know, the jitters out of the way. You know, that a gel period that you need with working with the other guys, that all goes away. And then with the knowledge of the plays, you know, if you don't know the plays, you're not playing. So you get five guys out there that already know what's going on, what they're doing. You can skip, you know, basically four practices worth of material and just get right into it.
You're playing next to John Runyon again. You know, Cesar Ruiz was a center. How much comfort does it give you knowing that you've got guys with experience this year on both sides of you?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, like as I just said, you know, there's no gel period there. You don't have to get used to different guys next to you. It's all the same. You know, we know what each other, how each other act, how each other think, and how we're going to react to, you know, certain looks, certain blitzes. So it's just, you know, we're two steps ahead of the game right now.
Coach talked to you on Monday about Josh Gattis and his offense and that there's going to be more of an up-tempo pace. How have you seen any differences in what Coach Gattis is trying to do with the offense so far?
Yeah, you know, we got new terminology for plays, you know, a couple of new schemes, but you know, the big thing for us is with, you know, that up-tempo offense is we're getting play in a lot faster. And as you know, like from an offensive line standpoint, that's gold because you can get up there, make your calls, makes them show their blitz earlier, you can make your adjustments. So it's been very beneficial to us.
When you think about that up tempo, and you know, typically you run in the pro style offense 70 to 80 plays a game. Mm-hmm. You look at some of these up tempo offenses and they're running close to 100 plays a game.
Yep.
One, it increases opportunity, but it also changes the condition that you got to be in. Is that something you guys are thinking about?
Yeah, we've definitely noticed you know, a change in our bodies. Everybody's just kind of naturally, you know, getting more conditioned, getting a little more slim. But you know, some people, you can take that as a negative running 100 plays, but that's 100 snaps that the D-line's got to be out there too. And mm-hmm. You know, in general, O-linemen can last longer than D-linemen. It's just
that's a standard.
Yeah, it's a standard in the nature of the beast. So, you know, if we get more plays out there, I feel like the advantage only goes to the O-line.
What's the potential of this offensive line? We've talked about, you know, we've got four returning starters. You've got guys with experience stepping into the other position. You got the same offensive line coach now again for 2 years. What's the potential for this offensive line?
Yeah, we've got a lot of talent here, and we got a lot of chemistry, and you know, we can. The sky's the limit for us. You know, we had a pretty good year last year running the ball, but we're trying to be number one all line in the Big Ten, and even go from higher from there nationally. So, you know, we'll see how spring ball goes for us, but we got high hopes for us.
What's it mean also having another year with Shea Patterson under center, with the same cadence, same voice in the huddle? What type of advantage does that give you guys?
Yeah, it's just a comfort thing, you know, knowing, you know, we know how, you know, we know how Shea acts, but even like, as you said, with cadence, you know, we know his voice, you know, how he's going to act with plays, you know, with different blitz looks. He'll let us do our job. He trusts us, so we don't have to break in. You know, we don't have to break in a new quarterback and tell him to settle down. We can handle it. But you know, we work well together. Cesar and Shea work really well with the calls and with the tempo of the offense. So you know, I mentioned it before, but it's just, you know, having so many guys come back, it's so beneficial to the offense because you can skip those you know, those early growing pains of spring ball.
Now, from your perspective, obviously on the offensive line, there's been a couple of guys that are no longer there on the defensive line. The guys that have stepped in, like Carlo Kemp, you know, Quiddy Pay. What have you seen from that group that makes you think they could be dominant again?
Yeah, it's just an extremely athletic group across the board. I mean, you know, you go in the weight room and watch those guys run because that's, you know, the benchmark that we've had for the last, you know, 10 weeks. You know, you see, you know, Quiddy Pay run, you know, David Ajabo, the new freshman, Ron Carlo, you know, Jeter, Dwumfor, anywhere across that line. You know, you got some big dudes that can run really fast. They're quick off the ball. They're strong as hell. It's, you know, they're going to be a tough defensive front. And with that scheme that Coach Brown has, he's going to use every player to the, he's going to maximize every potential that the D-line can use.
You get a chance to see a lot of what Don Brown does thrown at you, whether it's in spring ball or fall camp. You know, what type of challenge is it to try and pick up some of those blitzes and just the communication that you guys have to have up front?
Yeah, it can be really tough. You know, he's got those exotic blitzes that he just stays up at night and thinks about.
How much better does it make you guys seeing them?
It's the hardest looks that we'll get all year. So, you know, we get prepped and, you know, baptism by fire, as we call it. You know, we just get thrown into it and in spring ball and forced to react. And, you know, by the end of it, we're picking them up. You know, we can read them when they're coming. And, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of work because he's good at his job. You know, that's what he's paid for. But
when you hear Coach talk about, you know, and actually call players by name in terms of, you know, Carlo Kemp, Josh Metellus, Ben Bredesen as leaders on this team, does that add pressure to you guys for just going out every day at practice?
No, I really having him name it really doesn't, because we hold each other to that standard anyway. You know, we've got a good group of older guys, as Carlo mentioned, a lot of them in that 2016 recruiting class where, you know, this is our last go around, and we're not, you know, we haven't won the Big Ten yet. You know, there's some goals that we've had as a class that we haven't yet achieved, and, you know, we're running out of time, quite frankly. So we hold each other to the highest standard, and just trickles down from there.
Well, I appreciate your time. I know you're fitting us in between meetings and practice, mm-hmm. So thanks a lot.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Carlo Kemp joins me during spring ball here on In the Trenches. Carlo, when you think about spring ball, are you excited or is it just practice?
You know, we're excited, especially, you know, we got this mentality right now where it's coming off our last season and not liking the way it ended. You know, we're excited to get out there and just, it's always a fresh excitement, you know, coming in that first day, like, coming off a hard winter training, everyone's feeling strong, everybody's feeling fast, and everyone just wants to come out and show what we've been working on for the last 8 weeks.
Well, Coach yesterday came out, or on Monday, at his press conference and talked about, you know, you and Ben Bredesen as a couple of guys that are setting the tone, and he talked about how you're one of the strongest guys on the team. True? Not true?
If Coach said it, I'm going to take his word for it.
Yeah. So, when you look at what you've done over the last 2 months, from the end of the season to now, what gives you the belief that, you know, this year's going to be different?
You know, this was just a very cohesive spring. You know, been here for 4 years now. You can just see when everybody is on the same path. We're all working for the same goal, and we're all coming together to get spring ball started off right. Everybody was coming to workouts. Everybody, when they did come to workouts, wanted to be there and were working hard. And you can feel that sense of purpose that everyone's trying to bring going into this year.
Is there a different mentality knowing that you know, Coach Herbert, he's not starting fresh this year? You guys know what to expect. He knows a little bit more what to expect from you guys.
Right, and you could sense that, because last year was his first, you know, day, first year with us. There was a lot of teaching and instructions that we had to learn. And now, you know, coming off the Florida game and getting back in January, we just picked off where we left off. We just hit the ground running, got right back into our training sessions, and there was no, you know, adjustment time. It's time to go.
How do you step into that leadership role? Coach Harbaugh talked about, you know, the juniors and seniors stepping up. Obviously, you're a guy that's going to step into getting more reps, being on the field more. How do you accept that role, and is there anything you do differently knowing that you are one of the upperclassmen? You're a guy that they're looking to for leadership.
I feel, you know, that I can just provide, you know, some guidance, especially to a lot of these younger guys that are going to be so crucial to helping us in our success this year, just because I've been here. You know, I'm no longer the first year, second year guy, which you look back and you think, I'll never be in that spot until that spot comes.
Yeah. Wait till you're 20 years removed. You're never going to be there. And then all of a sudden,
exactly.
You're interviewing Carlo
Kemp. And then we're flitching chairs.
Who was born after you graduated.
Exactly. And so now it's just coming back and providing those guys with you know, the wisdom and all the teachings and all the fundamentals that I learned coming up, and just explaining to guys how important each game is, and that at one point, you know, you're going to be here and you're going to want everybody as focused as possible, because now you're heading into your last year. It's your last shot and you got to make every game count.
How important, you bring up the last shot, how important is this year for you and for this team and for this program?
It's, you know, it's crucial. It's very important, just because this 2016 class that I came in with, we're slowly, we've, you know, lost some guys. Some guys have graduated. Some guys are preparing for the NFL draft. And now, you know, the remaining guys are looking around like, this 2016 class, it's our last shot. You know, we got to give it all we got. We got to really stress how important every single game is to building up to that final game and propelling us into, you know, where we want to be at the end.
A lot of changes in the D-line room with the coach, with some of the players that are preparing for the draft. Let's start with just the players. You lose Rashawn Gary, Lawrence Marshall, Chase Winovich. How do you develop chemistry in that room with the subtraction of those guys, but the addition of some young guys?
It's just being included and bringing everybody together. Last year, we did a very good job, especially with, you know, some of those guys that we lost who were older. They just did a good job of including everybody. You know, we hung out all the time. We were usually at Chase's house, all hanging out, watching. Chase loved UFC fights, so we were always over there.
It's a
late
shock.
Night shock, right? Conor McGregor for Chase. But it's just carrying on all those teachings that they taught us previously and just bring it all together and really honing in on, you know, how special of a group, you know, that we can be.
So whose house is it this year?
I'm sure I'll be having a lot of guys over. We'll start doing some barbecues and some burgers.
Now let's talk about, you know, you've got a new coach in that room, Sean Nua, defensive line coach coming mm-hmm. from Arizona State. You know, he was with the service academies before that. What has he brought? What difference is it having him in that locker room or in your room?
It's just exciting. You know, we're excited to get to learn from another fantastic mind. You know, we have everything and all the fundamentals and, you know, the discipline that was instilled from Coach Madison and everything that he taught us. But now it's just, we get to add on just another great football mind who's bringing his own taste and own style into coaching. And you can just see, you know, feel that in the room. You know, he's really big on stressing the culture and the culture of, you know, what's this D-line going to be? Because it doesn't matter, you know, how we go out and play on the field if we're not all together in the same room.
What do you want that identity to be when we're sitting here at this time next year and you're finishing up your pro day? What do you want them to look back and say the 2019 identity of this defensive line was?
I want it to be relentless. I want it to be a group that took the field. You knew they were going to get after the quarterback. You knew they were going to stop the run. And you almost were kind of, you know, you were worried every single play what they were going to do to you. You know, how are they going to beat you? Was it going to be, you know, with a stunt? Was it going to be with an exotic pass rush? Or was it just going to be straight? Because there's nothing worse than, you know, when you take the field and you're scared of, you know, your opponent and what's he about to do to you.
What type of credibility does it give him, being a obviously a former collegiate player, but having spent time in the NFL as well?
It's as good as it comes. You know, you have a guy that has been to where a lot of us are trying to go. He played college football, and he knows what it takes to get to that point. You know, last year we had Coach Madison, who coached at that point, so he knew how to coach us there. Coach Nua, he played in the NFL. He's going to know what it takes as a player to get us to that spot, and it's just, you know, he's been awesome every single day of practice so far.
You get through spring practice, and I'll probably ask you this question again during fall camp, but there are times where, you know, it's laborious to go to practice, and it's always hitting your own teammates, and you've got to rely on what is fun about football. What do you like about the game of football?
I just love being around everybody on my team and just taking the field with my brothers. And you know, this year you can kind of sense, you know, how, especially with me, how I feel. It's just every day, you know, it's the last one of that day, you know, and just going out there and getting to compete with all the guys that I came in with and just being around all the guys that I've worked with for 4 years and just being out there with them. It's a sense of love, I would say, just getting to do what I love with the guys that I, you know, have been around with for so long.
Well, I appreciate you stopping by, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
I want to thank Ben Bredesen and Carlo Kemp for stopping by in the middle of spring practice, giving us an update on how spring is going, also on their positions, their rooms, offensive and defensive line. If you're going to build a team, you got to be good up front. And those two guys are going to be a major reason why we are on a course for a championship here for Michigan football. We'll have more talk of spring ball next week on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.